The heart of our famous hedgehogs is a wonderful, creamy hazelnut gianduja filling. To create our hedgehog gianduja filling, we use finely ground hazelnuts from Turkey, then blend with our original milk chocolate. Purdy's milk chocolate is a special blend of Belgian milk, dark and white chocolate that is a flavor you won't taste anywhere else. Once the gianduja filling has been blended to the perfect consistency, it's piped into a milk chocolate hedgehog shell and then hand-packed inside our iconic triangle box.
About 30 years ago, my brother was the production manager at the Purdy's Hedgehog Factory in Vancouver. And he invited me to bring my two daughters along to a tour of the chocolate factory. We felt a little bit like Charlie Bucket. Do you remember that name? Charlie was the boy who found the golden ticket so that he could go into Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. And you can imagine my two young daughters, age 4 and 6, something in that range, and their sense of anticipation of what this would be like to actually go into a chocolate factory. And we got to see large blocks of chocolate, probably 1 foot cubes, the raw material that would be transformed into something special. And we saw these large vats, stainless steel vats with melted chocolate inside. And I could just imagine it as a fondue large enough to dip a whole pineapple in it. And then they added their blend of milk and white chocolates to it, and they added the hazelnuts all according to the recipe that makes hedgehogs so unique. But the upsetting part of this day was at the very end of the tour, where we saw this production line where we could see the finished product. And there was this seemingly endless supply of hedgehogs moving along a conveyor belt, and quality control people there picking some up and tossing them into the garbage. Our girls were appalled at this waste, and they were very quick to suggest that they need not be wasted and that we would graciously volunteer to take them all home with us that day. I've been telling this story for a few years now in a leadership class at Columbia Bible College. The name of that lecture is Beginning with the End in Mind. And it's a phrase that it's attributed to Stephen Covey, and it simply suggests that leaders have to understand what they're making if they're going to produce a process in which they can actually make it. And someone at Purdy's imagined a chocolate shaped like a hedgehog with a hazelnut filling to be presented in a triangular box. And they had such a detailed vision of this signature product that Purdy's would be proud to call it by their name. And it is the clarity of this vision that dictated the creation of the production line that could bring all of these ingredients together. And so the question that I ask the students each year is this: what is our hedgehog? As the church, what is it that we are meant to produce? And the students are very quick to point out that the product of the church is disciples. That Jesus commanded us, go and make disciples. And so that part is fairly easy. But frankly, that's a little bit like saying the product of every chocolate factory is chocolates. It really doesn't say much. The question is, what kind of chocolate are you producing? And so the hard part for the church is coming up with a signature recipe of a disciple. What is the right blend of chocolate? What's the right kind of hazelnut? What are all the ingredients that would make a disciple that Jesus would be proud to call by his name? At Mountain Park, we've been working on our hedgehog recipe for 5 years now. And this morning, I want to remind you what it is this factory called Mountain Park is designed to produce. And I want you to pay particular attention to the fingerprints of God on our story. If you're new to Mountain Park, much of this will be new to you. But I know that for many of you, you will actually recall many of these stories of the past 5 years that have formed us into who we are today. Our vision statement is this, and it has a very specific end product in mind, that we will make wholehearted followers of Jesus Christ from the people in our everyday lives. This is our hedgehog, wholehearted followers. Now, please note, we are not here to make believers in Jesus Christ. Satan is a believer in Jesus Christ. That simply isn't good enough. We are not here to make converts to Jesus Christ. Being born again is a wonderful process, but being a born again makes infants in Jesus Christ. That is part of the process, but it is not the end product. And it is our intention to take believers, to those who have been born again, and turn them into wholehearted followers of Christ. And we want every disciple who calls Mountain Park home to walk in this path towards wholehearted discipleship. Now, we chose this language 5 years ago for a reason. We chose it to capture both the heart of a disciple and the resolve of a disciple. To be a wholehearted follower was inspired by the greatest command in all of Scripture. Jesus said it this way in Mark 12, that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Wholehearted love. And then that verse goes on to describe the person who has not just devoted his heart to God, but our soul, our mind, our strength. That following Jesus is a commitment to devote our entire being to following him. And so we aspire to a high standard. We aspire to make excellent disciples. And at Mountain Park, over the past 5 years, we have developed a signature recipe for excellence. It is exactly 5 years ago, February of 2019, that we studied the book of Colossians together. And in the very first book of that chapter, Paul sets the foundation for the rest of the book. In Colossians 1:18, he says that he, Jesus Christ, is the head of the body, the church. And we began to explore what that phrase might mean if we took this verse seriously. If Christ is the head of the church, does he have a seat at our board meetings? If Christ is the head of the church, how does he communicate his direction to our leadership teams? And so it was during this study that we first put ourselves on a path, and we used the language of discerning over deciding. And we said that the job of leaders is to discern the headship of Christ and not just to decide things based on our opinions. And so as leaders, we began to spend more of our time in leadership meetings, praying together and discerning what Christ would have for the church. And this was a learning curve for us. We also began to realize that Christ is also the Lord of our lives, and that every disciple needs to learn this practice of discernment. And so we began to raise the profile of discernment, not just as something that leaders do, but as something that every wholehearted follower of Jesus Christ can and should grow into. And so for the past 4 years, this has become our first signature ingredient of a wholehearted follower of Christ at Mountain Park. The second ingredient of a wholehearted follower is following. Following what we have discerned. And we have chose to capture this value by comparing following Jesus with simply learning about Jesus. And we began to change the language in our church. we began to ask different questions rather than asking, what did you learn in your Bible study today? The new question became, what will you do? How will you follow differently because of your Bible study today? Following Jesus carries with it an assumption of accountability. And I have been trying to gently develop a culture of accountability in our church, not by creating guilt, but by acknowledging that if we aspire to follow Jesus, we actually have to do the things he asks of us. We have to trust Jesus. We have to trust his kingdom. We want to create a culture where we come to expect this of one another. Now, I think we all know that following Jesus can be done without any impulse of love. Jesus gave the example of our attitudes in giving our tithes and offerings, and he said that, you know, you can follow this teaching, and you can do it reluctantly or under compulsion. But that's not wholehearted following, is it? Wholehearted follower is motivated by our love for Jesus in how we follow. The third ingredient of a wholehearted follower is mercy. When I first arrived at Mountain Park almost 6 years ago, I could see that mercy was already a high value in this church. I saw many people involved in 5 and 2 ministry, Starfish backpacks, the relationship with missionaries and Casa de Luz, and a number of other expressions of the compassion of God for people. Mercy, I believe, reflects God's compassionate care for people. In Matthew 9:13, Jesus said this, "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice." What this means is this. Jesus said these words to challenge religious people whose first response to sinners was to judge them. Sacrifice is what self-righteous religious people want sinners to do before they are welcome. Go offer your sacrifice. Get yourself cleaned up. Get rid of your sin if you want to be a part of this church. Friends, that is not the way of Jesus. Jesus says, "I desire mercy." Sacrifice is the response of the older brother in the parable of the prodigal son. His focus was on the sin, and he could not understand the welcome that was expressed by his father. Mercy was what the prodigal son saw in his father's face as he embraced his son on the road. Mercy is a posture of overwhelming grace even before the topic of sin and repentance ever comes up. Mountain Park is, and I hope will continue to be, a place where none of us ever need fear how a family member or friend would be judged if they came to worship us. Wholehearted followers of Jesus Christ are rich in mercy, loving expressions of welcome to everyone who walks in the door. The fourth ingredient of our recipe of a wholehearted follower of Christ is community. The scripture is very clear that we are a body and that we need each other. And I want you to notice that this is not a structure. This is not a program. The value here is not life groups. Life groups are one place you can find community. You may also find community in a ministry team, or you may find it in friendships that have endured over the years as you've raised your children together. The question of community is this. Who are your people? Who do you call when you need prayer? Who is going to call you if they need help? Who has the privilege of admonishing you so that you would receive it knowing it was an expression of love. Who is going to support you on your journey of becoming a wholehearted follower of Jesus Christ? Churches can organize groups, but only you can create community. Community is a choice to invite people into your life and into your home and into your journey of following Jesus. So at Mountain Park, these are the four ingredients of a wholehearted follower of Jesus. These are the things that turn a mere believer into a wholehearted follower. And I would suggest that this is an excellent disciple, the signature product of Mountain Park. Notice that the first two have to do with our relationship with Jesus Christ. Discern his direction and follow. It's fairly simple. The second two have to do with our relationship with other people, welcoming people with mercy and living in community. So we have our ingredients. We have our recipe. Now we need a process. How we build our production line, or how will we build our production line so that we can build all four of these competencies into our people? Again, many of you are here with us in the fall of 2022, and you will recall that we made an intentional decision one Sunday morning to move towards an equipping experience rather than exclusively having teaching experiences on Sunday morning. Teaching communicates content, but equipping develops competencies. And so in the fall of 2022, we spent a lot of our time experimenting with equipping. And I agreed to take some risks in trying some new ways of communicating. And you agreed to take some risks in embracing change and participation. And we spent more time on Sunday morning in discussion groups. We started talking about the Discovery Bible Study method so that everyone would be equipped to be able to lead a Bible study in their home by asking four simple questions. What does this teach us about God? What does it teach us about men and women? What will I do in response to what I've learned? And then who will I tell? You'll also recall that last summer, we practiced this Bible study method every Sunday morning so that we could learn this competency. No prepared sermons, simply creating settings where we could allow the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. We also changed the job descriptions of all of our staff to focus on equipping rather than just teaching. Janelle has been exploring different ways to equip parents so that they can raise wholehearted followers of Christ in their homes. And all of these steps were retooling our assembly line with a mindset that we would create spaces and settings for us to grow in the competencies of a disciple. And in the coming months, I want to sharpen our equipping focus. It's my hope that we can introduce three, maybe four different practices for each one of these competencies so that we would all know how to engage in these things. We want to equip every follower of Christ to become competent in these four areas. So in our chocolate factory, we have answered what we want to produce: wholehearted followers who are discerning, following, merciful, and living in community. We've begun to explore how we're going to do it by equipping, and yes, we have more work to do there. But finally, we want to talk about who is going to do this work. In Ephesians 4, it's interesting that Paul gives us his recipe of an excellent disciple. And he uses ingredients like maturity and unity. And then he gives us his hedgehog statement. He has a vision to make disciples that reach the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And you begin to unpack that and you understand that this is a high calling. This is an excellent disciple. But he also tells us in this passage who is responsible for this. He says in that same passage that Jesus Christ gave to the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers, and that their job is equipping the church to become signature disciples of Jesus Christ. And so APEST is about the breadth of leadership that is required to equip the church to its full measure. Leadership then is more than staff. Staff are part of a leadership team, but staff can only represent a portion of what God calls for in APEST. God has given leadership gifts to people in the body, and it is a function of community responsibility together to affirm these gifts that Christ has given to us. Let's come back to Purdy's Chocolate Factory for just a moment. Everyone in that factory has their part in the process. Some drive the forklifts of blocks of raw chocolate. Some add the hazelnuts. Many different roles, but everyone in that factory knows what they're making. They all know what that one thing is, the reason that they go to work every day. I have posted a statement on our website so that when people are exploring Mountain Park, I want them to know what we are about. And this is what I want them to understand. That making wholehearted followers of Jesus Christ is not the only thing we do, but it is the one thing that shapes everything that we do. And I am intentionally working towards the day where everyone who calls Mountain Park home would be able to speak what our one thing is, where everyone knows that we are here to make wholehearted followers, that everyone knows what our signature ingredients are, partially because we love God with all our mind, and we are paying attention with intentionality to the things that are important. That's part of it. But more than that, I want us to know it because we are immersed in our own formation and that we are becoming the very thing that we aspire to produce. I've been pastor here now coming up to 6 years this summer. And during that time, the leadership team of Mountain Park has retooled the factory. We are not the same church we were 6 years ago. When I first came to learn about Mountain Park, I was given a document called Vision 2020, and it explored some of the aspirations of the church, some of the ministry potential, the goals, the priorities of this congregation. That document made reference to a new housing development planned for the top of Whatcom called the Vaccaro Ranch neighborhood. In 2016, the city of Abbotsford approved 1,400 new residential units right in our backyard, and we had a vision to reach this community. And I believe this vision document was actually an extension of the original vision of this church when it was first planted, to reach each East Abbotsford, or as some people have put it to me, simply to reach the mountain, thinking of Sumas Mountain. When I arrived in 2018, it was in that first fall that we gathered our elders together, and we spoke about the challenges that we faced in accomplishing our vision. And one of the challenges before us was the fact that we only had at that point about 10 years left in our lease for this facility. and that we needed to start thinking about the future location of Mountain Park. And as we were talking and praying, somewhere along the way in that neighborhood or in that conversation, the thinking took a turn. It turned from where we think we should be to understanding where God has placed us. And we came to understand with great clarity that Mountain Park Church is in mission. We are in Wanak. We are in Greendale and Alder Grove. Mountain Park Church is in Clearbrook. And yes, it's in East Abbotsford. It's in the Sumas Flats. It's in the Masqui Flats. It's throughout the Fraser Valley. Mountain Park Church is everywhere that people of Mountain Park called home. The building may be in East Abbotsford, but the church is in the places of our everyday lives. And it was at that point, 5 years ago, that our leadership team made a conscious decision to retool the factory so that we would make followers of Jesus Christ in the places that we live and learn and work and play. Our current lease with the school is now 5 years from expiring. We still don't know where our next building will be. We don't know where we're going to set our office up. But our church will still be spread out throughout the Fraser Valley. I want to take you back to our vision statement for one last observation, and I want to say this part to prepare us for a time of prayer around our tables. Our vision statement says that we will make wholehearted followers of Jesus Christ from the people in our everyday lives. Well, I just spent the last 35 minutes describing what we want to see in each other, what we want to become. But our vision will not be realized until we are making wholehearted followers of Jesus from the places that we live, learn, work, and play. Alpha has been a great step forward for us, so encouraging. But it's just one step. And as I look at our vision, as I look at the retooling of our production line and all the things that we've done over the past 5 to 6 years, I believe that our next focus has to be on bringing our vision to our neighbors and to our coworkers and to our fellow students and to the members of our family that need to know Jesus Christ. Our vision demands that we connect the people of our everyday lives with the disciple-making process that is Mountain Park. That's why the men's fishing retreat is so important. That's why the ladies' gatherings around fire pits are so important, and it's why youth retreats are so important. Because all of these are strategic and necessary parts. They're all part of the process to invest in relationships so that we can introduce people to Jesus Christ, introduce them to the journey that leads them to become wholehearted followers. The factory called Mountain Park is taking shape. We know what our hedgehog is. We know what our competencies are, and we are growing in them. And by the leading and the empowering of the Holy Spirit, and by the courage and following of our congregation, we want to extend our ministry to the people that are around us every day. And so this is how I want to invite you to pray this morning. Number one, that we would be wholehearted followers of Jesus Christ. And number two, that we would make wholehearted followers of Jesus Christ. So if you would, just around your tables, just step into these prayers, and then I'll call us back together in just a moment. Let me draw us back together for a moment. You have no doubt noticed these two boxes of hedgehogs that have been in front of me all morning. Did you notice anything peculiar about them? Come get your prize. Carrie, would you... This is our logo. I don't want you to ever look at a box of hedgehogs again for the rest of your life without thinking about our hedgehog, wholehearted followers of Christ, being one and making one.